And then they went, nah, keep it.
Yeah.
No, you know, I had to tell you so. I had to.
That's true.
What?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the REScreening.com podcast. Yeah, you're like running around still. So.
All right.
It's good we're not on video.
That would have sucked.
I am your host, REScreening.com's own Mark Eastman, and with me, as always, is co-host extraordinaire and agile wire balancer Shane Hunter.
I'm all screwed up. Hello.
Oh, yeah, this is fun. Yeah, we had the sound turned down just slightly, so we couldn't hear our jazzy intro as much as usual. And then all of a sudden, it was over. We're still talking about music and movies like Jackie and Hidden Figures. That we didn't love the score this week. We are basically doing our best list.
Right.
And here's my thought at this point. We have a lot of movies still to cover. We have things like last week we were trying to get through as many as we could. We had, you know, plenty that we still didn't get through. But what I'm thinking at this point is that we both have our lists.
Yep.
And we probably have some honorable mentions that we'll run through.
We actually do, yeah.
And we will talk about movies as we're going through them on the best list. And that will probably take up our time.
It really will. We try sometimes to do
because we're like that.
Yeah, it's not going to get
so bad. I'm thinking we may hit some other things. There are movies that I don't think we've really covered Hidden Figures, which is out right now.
Yep.
And Live by Night is out, but we did that more than once. Probably we've done that before and talked about it.
Yeah.
And right now out in theaters is Split and XXX.
Right.
And I think if you're interested in those movies, you don't want to know the best movies of the year.
Right.
That's maybe the thing. Split,
we
I will say,
those. Did you see them?
I'll tell you what though, Split is getting some interesting play on the internet.
Is it?
For a variety of reasons.
Uh-oh. See, I'm staying away from it until we see it. So
none of which are really because people like it, but
okay.
So not,
it's an M. Night film.
Not that everybody hates it, right? But there is so much talk. It's really interesting because it's been a while since he had a movie that was really like a twisty thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he had that weird horror movie, and I guess you could call it a twist, but it didn't even play itself out as much as a twist, right? That these were not really the people and whatever.
Yeah.
Spoil that movie for you if you haven't seen it, I guess. But it's been a while. So there's two things. There's sort of a twist in a way to the movie, but also then it connects back to one of his previous films. So now I'll spoil that for you,
well,
right?
See, now that makes me curious.
Right.
In a good way. Like, that would be really
clever. So now everyone is talking about that movie and the ending, both because they wanted more of an actual twist,
mm-hmm.
and also because they like – they like what they did get at the end, or they hated what they got at the end, or whatever, but they were going into this movie expecting to go right back to like Sixth Sense. Like when you get done watching the movie, all of a sudden it's a whole different movie mm-hmm. than you were watching the whole time. Right. Or, you know, just that's his gig.
Isn't that
right?
Yeah.
And people were thinking that this movie was going back to that, and it doesn't really.
What a really crappy position to be in. Look, I got no extending affection for M. Night. He's made a couple really great movies, one really great movie, and a few okay things. But his shtick is tired.
Right.
And how frustrating must it be if you're actually not interested in doing your own shtick?
Right.
The audience doesn't want to see it.
Exactly, right.
You know, the
right.
audience wants to see your twist ending, and
right.
you can only have like four good ones ever.
Right.
And then you vary them. But that's got to be really frustrating. If I were him, I'd be like, look, you get mad at me when I do it. It's not good enough when I don't. Like,
right.
Yeah,
he can't do anything.
I'm going to go direct Family Guy now.
Yeah,
you know,
it's,
I mean, like,
it is. It's a weird place to
be.
It's
really weird.
And, you know, I think that the best thing, if we could go back in time,
yeah.
right, the best thing he could have ever done to really have, I mean, it's not like he doesn't have a career. People keep paying him to make movies, right?
They do.
No matter what happens to his other movies. Whoa. Hold on.
Hold on. We got the big things. No, and he has certainly continued to work and to stay busy, even if it's things that I don't necessarily feel like it's stuff he wants to do. But, I mean, it's stuff maybe he does, but he's still, if you look at his IMDb stuff, he's consistently, as a director, putting out a film every couple of years.
Right. I think what I was going to say, I think the best thing he could have done is right after The Sixth Sense, if he'd have just made something totally straight, if he'd have just
right.
made some completely regular movie.
Yeah.
And it would have just been, okay, that's a thing I did.
Yeah.
And then he could go back to it later.
Always. Yeah. But don't two in a row.
And it's still, it wouldn't have become the thing that he has to do all the time.
Yeah.
Like people go into this movie and if you read through something that has spoilers, I won't give you spoilers. Right. But
yeah.
if you read through something online, there's plenty of things where you can find all the spoilers. It's really goofy.
Yeah.
I think just
so it's ruined for you. There's no,
maybe if you watch it, it's great.
Can you imagine what he would be if Unbreakable had been his first and then The Town second, and he did The Sixth Sense maybe third or fourth, like
The Village, right?
Yeah.
The Village.
But if instead of the first film he got popular for, it was like his third or fourth, or, you know, if he did The Sixth Sense,
if he built up to it.
Yeah.
And then
and
had a really
like,
good
oh, I had
one.
A twist, and then
yeah,
I had a
maybe.
Twist, and he's like,
maybe.
You know what? But I mean, the real power of him and the real notoriety of him is that nobody knew what was coming.
Right.
And he was, and that is a damn great movie. It's
right,
very
right.
skillfully done, deft, and in all the right ways. And then when it gets you,
and
you're just like, whoa.
And when it goes back to the other parts, when mm-hmm. you get the reveal in that movie and it goes back to the other parts, you're just sitting there, shut
yeah,
up.
It,
and
it's so
and
effective.
It's really good, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he just had to do it. Anyway, so
well, that's interesting.
That's out in theaters.
What's the buzz on XXX?
Go run.
People are having
that.
Fun with it, or because it looks so ridiculous.
I think that
fun, but dumb.
I think the general consensus there
yeah.
is that if you think you're going to like XXX, you
right.
probably will.
Right. Okay.
It's the same as like Transformers.
I
movies,
remember
right?
we were seeing a film last year, and they showed the trailer for it. And maybe it was John Wick, but I think you liked John Wick's trailer. I'm pretty sure it was this one where he's riding the motorcycle underwater. And you just were like, and I went, yes. And you're like, really? And I went, I think that looks fun. And you're like,
yeah.
oh, God. And
yeah,
there, every
great.
Once in a while, there are films like this where you'll be like, can
oh,
you believe
yeah.
that? And I'm like, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
You're like, I can't believe we left to do this together. So.
Yeah. Yeah, XXX is
I'm not a big XXX
is,
fan,
fantastic.
But, yeah.
Anyway, so as I said,
anyway.
we're going to have to go through a lot okay. of movies, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot about them, and they will pop up on,
yeah,
you know, whatever movies we haven't covered. I'm sure we'll mention them and maybe give out our ratings and everything. But just to get through our whole list and everything, will probably take the whole show.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what everybody wants to know.
People
anyway.
Love, I hope you've been getting emails for this because people, they've been wanting it.
We have been getting emails like we do every year. People want it. What people want is for our list to come out way before the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That's mostly what the emails
we
are
did it a
that
couple
we get.
Times. We were right at the end of December.
What they really are is like before Christmas hits,
right?
They want our list, and they want to know, not only do they want us to say whether or not the movies that come out on Christmas are good or bad and
mm-hmm.
give our ratings and everything.
Yeah.
They want to know exactly where they are on the list of the best of the year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And our qualification, if you listen to us, as everybody knows, my qualification anyway, is that I hate lists. I hate making
you really
lists.
You only do it because I push so hard for it, I think.
Well,
I love it.
You have to do it. And
yeah,
we say that
we
all
do.
The time. Every movie critic
I
has to
it.
Do it. There, you can't be a movie critic and go, you know, someone says, so what are the best 10 of the year? And you go, I don't know. I don't
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
That's just
I don't
not
rate
a,
movies.
That's not a
it's,
thing,
it's
right?
It's inherent. You got to rate them.
So going into this year's list, I have to say a few things. First of all, this is the easiest list I've made in years. This
top to bottom? Like for the best. I know we're not talking about the worst. My worst list was so simple. I had to argue two things, but it was so easy.
No, I think just the best. I mean, just focusing on the best right now. I don't even have my worst list completely solidified yet.
Oh, I'm done.
No, but the best list, and here's what was easy, because what I really hate about the list, right, is trying to figure out what's number six and what's number seven.
Yeah,
I hate doing that, right? Often there is a movie that you go, okay, well, number one is obviously this,
right.
And it does, and it's no big deal, right?
Right.
When you get down to like 10 and 11, and what's not in the top 10, and which one gets to be in the top 10,
right?
And one's a drama and one's a comedy, and you're going, which of these is better?
Right.
Or one is like a spy movie, like, you know, a couple years ago when like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy came out, and then, you know, like versus Zootopia.
Right.
Like,
right.
Which is the better movie or whatever. I hate that stuff.
Oh,
getting it exactly into that order, I hate. But the movies that were in the top 10,
easy. Yeah.
Or maybe even like the top 12, say, completely easy for me to do.
Yep.
Usually, most years, I have like the top 20, top 25,
right.
And then go, damn, which of these? And then I sit there like forever and I rewrite the list and put things in.
It. This is awesome.
And then I come back to it the next day and go, what was I thinking?
Yeah, right.
That was crazy. So
that's why I love the list.
So as far as doing that this year, it was totally easy for me. It was a complete no-brainer. And I think actually if you go to like 12, getting it down from that 12 to 10 was a little bit difficult.
Yeah,
and there were a few spots where I had, you know, like five or six or seven or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And I kind of had to go,
what'd you do? I agree. I was at maybe 12. It might've been 13, but to cut two was the only difficulty. And then figuring out the real order of the middle.
Right.
Like, so when you get to that point, cause I know what I do, how do you decide? Is it like what you think about? What movie made me think about itself more? What did I enjoy watching? Like, it doesn't even matter what I rated it, because some of the films in my list are not as high as films that didn't make the list.
Exactly, that's
true.
But
I thought of them more.
And we say that. I think every year we do.
The ratings
do not necessarily.
I remember getting emails from somebody.
Yeah,
that was
last
like,
year
look,
we did.
You've got to be 10 to 9.5. And that's your list. I'm like, it doesn't work that way. Because I can see a film that's 9 and still think a 7.5 was more enjoyable.
Last year we did get called out on that.
We did.
Because somebody sent us an email and said, you put this in your top 10 over a movie that you rated
that
like
too.
9 or 9.5 or something when you rated this and blah, blah, blah.
Our
so anyway.
Listeners dig it. So how do you figure it out? Like,
what I usually do, and not always, and there are a lot of things that you do, because one of the things that I usually do is I will say, was there like some awesome performance in this?
Yeah.
Was somebody like the best actor who didn't necessarily get nominated for best actor? Was there some awesome performance in this movie over the other one I still like or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times what I do is I'm like, you have to watch one again right now. Go.
Yeah, right. Okay. That's a great litmus test.
Which one
do you want to sit down and see again?
Which one are you going to
pick?
Because
you're an easy one for that, because you don't like doing that.
That's right.
So for you, that must be like flipping a coin and be like, all right.
And then, you know, sometimes it's the same as trying to figure out which of these movies is 6 and which one's 7.
Yeah, right.
And you just have to go, it makes no sense to me, but and for me, it's better and it's worse, because on the one hand, I don't care.
Yeah.
So if somebody goes, you made that 5 and this 6, I'll go, fine. Like, I don't care. On the other hand, it's kind of harder too, because I don't really know how to figure that out.
Yeah.
And that's my whole problem, especially, you know, the easy bonus, right, is if you have number 6 and number 7 and they're both in the same genre.
Yeah, right.
Then I can kind of go, yep, I think this one is higher or whatever. But man, when they're far apart in what they are,
sure,
it's ugly.
It's
all right.
Tricky. All right. I love it.
So before we babble on too long, we'll just go through, like, you have some honorable mentions. We'll just kind of
run through them quickly. I don't have a ton.
I love the honorable mentions too, because we both run through our honorable mentions every year. And then we sit there and go, oh, wait, that's not in the top 10.
Right, so now I know.
The hell's in the top 10 now?
Right.
Yeah.
There was a weird mistake on a part of my list where I usually start the list from the start of the year, even if we don't do our lists December 31st. I usually cut it as a calendar date. And this year, for some strange reason, I don't have a memory of when I saw it because I saw a bunch of films at the end of the year. There were three films that probably would have made my real list, but I think I saw them last year and I used your list from last year.
Well, but that doesn't matter. This is the award.
No, I know,
season.
But I saw Anomalisa, which made your list last year. And it made me think I must have seen that at the end of last year. I didn't put it on my list until this year
because it's
at that end of the year thing. Just like with Trumbo.
But then
I love Trumbo. I'm pretty sure I saw that last year. Anomalisa
is a good one. Just like this year, you've got stuff like The Founder isn't even out yet.
Right.
But it was submitted for consideration
for 2016
because, you know, it played at various things.
Yeah.
It came out on Christmas Day for like three shows in New York or whatever.
Right.
Just so it could count.
Yeah.
But then when you're going back through the year, it doesn't come out until way the end of January.
Yeah,
so
it's really
strange. That happens every year.
My small addendum to my list is I have three entries that actually would be in the top 12. And it's weird. It affects the bottom of my list.
Right.
Legend with Tom Hardy, which I had a lot of fun watching. And I saw that either the end of the year or the start of the year, and I can't be sure which.
Right.
By default, it's off. Trumbo and Anomalisa.
All right.
Besides that, some of the stuff that I really enjoyed this year, and it's really funny to start off like this, was Warcraft. I remember having such a blast with Warcraft. There's no way that was going to make my top 10 list. I hoped.
Right.
But that was a surprising film that I thought, because I went in with such low expectations and it was actually a good movie, just happened to be a
video game animated
film.
That movie for me, that's not like on my list or anything like that, but that movie was good, but I feel like it's the same thing, right? Like I had no expectations.
Man.
And then it actually was kind of fun
and
everyone was ripping the crap out of that
movie when it came out. Yeah.
And I was like, what?
What's wrong with that movie?
Bad with that?
Right, I mean, it was orcs and, you know, if there was a category for the best of the middle, probably Warcraft would be in the middle or bottom of that list because I had fun with it and it wasn't that bad. Patriots Day, which we've talked about on the show recently, didn't make it. The Nice Guys, which is a Shane Black film
that I
had a blast watching, but ultimately didn't rate as high as it felt fun to watch.
Right.
That is
a good one that I hope people don't let completely slide.
Yeah,
they
didn't
catch
seeing
it in theaters.
I mean,
that's one that's worth watching, especially now that people have more reason to pay attention to Ryan Gosling anyway.
Right, and maybe look back on things. There was a movie, Truth, which was the Dan Rather story with Robert Redford. I really liked that, but that didn't come close to making it. Just a couple more. The 7-5, which is a really good documentary that we never covered on the show.
Right.
Lion, which I don't remember if we've covered it yet or not. But
I don't know if we've officially given it our ratings.
Lion didn't make my list, although it came very close. Hail Caesar, the same thing. That came very close, but that didn't make my list. And Finding Dory, which I had a lot of fun watching, but didn't ultimately get high enough to make my list either.
Yeah, I will say, because I want, you know, this should also be, people should be taking notes.
Right.
And know exactly what movies, in case they missed any of them, or, you know, what we think of movies that we maybe didn't cover. Hail Caesar's good.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, man, it was a real miss as far as a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Right. Like for a Coen Brothers movie, they have the opposite problems, right? I expect a lot. I have really high expectations going in. And that movie had a lot of fun moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't get like irritated that I was watching it and I didn't hate it, but it was, for me, it was very average and like very average for a Coen Brothers movie is like just not good enough. Right. Like I would probably, if that was somebody else's movie, I'd probably give it like 7 or 8 or something because I wouldn't expect anything or whatever, but man, when the Coen Brothers miss, it's an odd feeling.
It is.
Right. So anyway, I didn't love that one, but it's still a good movie and it's fun to watch. And Finding Dory was like a real letdown for me.
Yeah,
it was okay, and obviously the kids love it, and it's
We both rated it pretty high. We both,
you know,
eights,
people are gonna like it, yeah, and everything, but it was real forgettable for me. And for like a Pixar movie or an animated movie or something like that, when that's one where if I don't ever really find myself interested to watch it again or something, then something's gone wrong, right?
Yeah.
It does have a lot of fun in it, but man, I was watching that movie just like thinking all about the breakdown. I was like storyboarding that movie while I was watching it, and it was like, really? So anyway, that one was not really on my list. Anyway, so for my almost, I've got more than you and a really weird span of movies.
Okay.
Because I've got a lot.
Right? I had a bunch and I just cut it. I'm like, just say about 10. You know, that's all I
can. And I will say, because we talked about this, and because I said like top 12 and it was very close, I'll tell you the two that did not make it that were like right on the edge were Nocturnal Animals and 20th Century Women. They were both like just at the last second were like not on, because a 9 and 10 I really wanted to be on.
Right. Yeah.
and for me, this is a weird year too, because if we start the show and say, and I say my list was really easy, that makes it seem like my list is the same as everybody else's list, right? Because this year, I think more, this is very normal, right? But this year, even more than most years, if you Google best movie of the year list, you are going to get the same exact list every freaking time. Yep. They are, with maybe like one movie different switched out here and there.
Yeah.
But if you take those and put them all together and get all the movies, unless you go to something like The New Yorker where you get like nothing but art house films and all this stuff, you are going to get like the same 13 movies.
Everyone I've seen, that's it. Yep.
And that covers every movie. And mine is not like that.
I would be disappointed.
So there are some, but there are a lot of movies that are not on it. So with that said, other movies that were on my list, those two obviously were very, very close for me. And we've got The Dressmaker, which was just crazy fun movie. The Arrival, which was really good movie, but for me just did not make the list, but really fun. We covered that movie.
Yeah, we loved that.
Really good time.
Yep.
A Monster Calls, which at one point was on my list.
Yep.
But then, you know, when my list was about 15 or something.
Yeah.
But and especially right when I got done watching it.
Yeah.
Right when I got done watching it, it was on my list, and I was like, "This is awesome!" Yeah. Right. But just didn't quite. And then Hidden Figures, which is on everybody else's list.
Yep.
Patterson, which was a really good movie, but just, you know, didn't quite make it. There were a lot of really good movies.
Yeah.
The difference is this year that it was easy for me to just have the 10, not that there weren't a lot of good movies.
Right. You had to weed out. Yeah.
And then, Hell or High Water, Fences, Jackie, which you hated.
I don't know if I hated it, but I definitely didn't like it.
I really had fun watching it, and I think it's I don't think I'd rate it that high, which you clearly would not rate it very high.
Yeah.
But it was great to watch her.
I agree.
And it was, I think, just the production of it was kind of cool to watch. Yeah. Just like you know, if you don't really like Downton Abbey exactly, it's still kind of fun to watch it, right? To just see that happen. Anyway, so some of these are closer to the top 10 than others.
Right. Right.
Tony Erdmann, which is a foreign
was that
German movie.
That close?
Hilarious.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if it was that close to being in the top 10.
But it's definitely
it was pretty close.
That's cool.
But it's hilarious too. Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yep.
Mascots, which was the Netflix movie, but it's it's a Christopher Guest, it's like Best in Show.
I don't know what that is, but it's
like Best in Show, except they're mascots for teams instead of dog owners or whatever. And that's right. And then The Witch, The Family Fang, which is Jason Bateman, and it's like really slow. No one's gonna watch that movie.
You should
but
check it out. But
it's very slow. It's awesome if you put in the time, right? But it's a movie too that, unfortunately, I feel like that is a movie that a lot of people will watch it when it's on, you know, like Netflix or on cable or wherever they get it. And they'll start watching it for 20 minutes and go, ah, the hell with this.
Yeah.
Because it's very slow and it's not, you see Jason Bateman in it and you think it's going to be this, and it's not that.
Right.
Right. Huh. And then Maggie's Plan, which is Greta Gerwig movie.
Oh,
that once again, nobody knows. So I think that's my whole list.
That's pretty good. That's actually some surprising stuff on there with.
Right. Because there are a lot of movies on there like Hidden Figures I really like, but I had a lot of problems with it as a movie.
Yeah.
I found myself watching that movie thinking to myself, I really like watching this story, not this movie. I'm not loving this movie. I'm loving that I get to watch this story, and that's great.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of problems I had with it. There are a lot of parts, and the same with Fences for me, even though I think that's a way better play than it got turned into a movie.
Yeah.
It's still good, I think. It's still really good. But that movie and Hidden Figures, there's a lot of it that I think is overdone. There's a lot of it where they're just trying to really, jam it down your throat for no reason.
Yeah.
Which is wasting time, which is not talking about other things we'd talk about. And then there were just a lot of problems with putting it all together, especially for me, the music, which is not always something that I, hate. Right. But when it stands out in a movie and you're like, what is that music? Then that's really gone wrong.
Right.
And it's funny because it just made me think, is really weird, because I was thinking about talking about these movies and doing the show last night when I was watching Aziz Ansari open up Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Did you watch that?
I didn't.
So he's talking about, he's talking about a lot of things. He did kind of like just a stand-up routine as his opening to the show, as opposed to like what they normally do.
Right. The monologue,
which is a little bit more of a monologue skit.
Yeah.
And he's talking about Islamic people and how, you're scared because Trump or, whatever.
Right.
And he said, I feel like a lot of that's the music. Like, you see it on the news and they're playing that music from like Homeland. Whenever you see the like show Muslims praying and they've got that Homeland music, right? And they're like
that's actually very funny.
They're like bowing and stuff. Yeah. But in the background of the news, it's like, and it's like this creepy music. And he's like, I feel like you could just change the music and it'd be all better. Right.
Right.
And so then he starts doing it with like, Benny Hill music, it's like,
that's awesome.
If you just change that, people would be okay with Islam.
That's funny.
Because that's what they'd see. But anyway, in Hidden Figures, there was a lot of it where the music was so overbearing and it was a little bit weird. And I felt like there are times when you like watch people running in the movie where it is practically like doing that. Right?
I know the scene.
She has to run to the bathroom and they have this like crazy like calliope music going. And I'm like, what am I watching here?
Wow, the music killed that one.
But so that and Fences and, there are other, even like 20th Century Women, which, as I said, really close.
That's on all kinds of lists.
But that's on everybody's. And I love that movie. And the thing for me about that movie is that some of the parts just does not add up to a whole or something, because I love Greta Gerwig. I like her anyway, but I love her in that movie.
Yeah.
I love all the stuff that happens in the movie.
Yeah, that's cool.
I love all the parts, and somehow just when you put them all together, it doesn't add up to getting in the top 10. It still adds up to a really good movie
Sure.
that everybody should watch.
Right.
But now you have no idea what to expect in my top 10 because I've ruled out all kinds of movies.
I think there's a couple just from what we've talked about. But yeah, there's
There are like four that should be pretty
animals,
easy.
Hidden Figures, like, you know, there were a few you just tossed out that I thought, well, those would be the bottom of your list, if anything.
And I love Nocturnal Animals.
Yeah.
I really love that movie. But it, you know, at the end of the day, when I got done with the movie, I like the ending. I think the ending is awesome, right? But when I got to the end of that movie, as much as I loved it, as much as I thought I have to give it this number of stars, whatever, I still just was like, nah. Like, I just want a little more out of that experience. So
the only last caveat that I'll give to anybody who's new to listening to the show that hasn't heard us before, apologies to those who have listened to us before, because we say this every year. Mark does a different thing with the lists than I do. I review my top 10 list is always the films that we did for the show.
Unless there's an exception.
And you are a much more natural list. You just do the films you've seen.
We may never have ever
alluded to them. We may never talk about them. Just your top 10's there. So that's also a little bit of a interesting thing, because you may start throwing out names and people are like, what the hell is this? When did they do that?
Right.
And you're like, well, never, but still you should see it.
So that's actually very cool. And people who have emailed us before, like that too.
Mine isn't any better or worse than
that. You just say, look,
I do the show.
It has to, right.
This is the show's list as far as I'm concerned. Cause I don't put things, I've seen films like, again, there was a documentary, The 7-5, which I loved, but we never ever would have done it on the show because we didn't, you know, there's no reason to, but it's not going to make my list partially because we didn't do it for the show. There's at least one on here that I suspect we would do for the show, and that's why it's there. But it's weird. I get like a weird block this time of year where we do so many. I can't remember if we've done this yet or not.
Oh, God,
so,
I do too.
That's the only other caveat that I would say.
Right.
Because I remember sometimes you'll throw out films and people are like, what the hell is he watching?
Right. And I have to say, too, if we're going to have caveats to our list, that, you know, everything that comes out that's supposed to be on people's list comes out in the last month of the year.
Yeah.
And we literally, at least me, but really both of us, if you watched a movie, but we never really necessarily covered it.
Yeah, right.
But you watched it sort of like in preparation to be covering it. But then we like never got
to it.
Because we are literally watching like hundreds of movies from like the middle of November to the end of the year. It's crazy. It's crazy. Anyway.
You wanna go 10 or you wanna start at number 1?
No, 10. You can't start at number 1.
Why not? Let's do what we're doing.
All right. So I think we'll kind of rotate. This is like
what we do, right?
This is what we usually do. Is like we'll I'll go first for 10, then you go first for 9, or whatever.
That's how it goes. Sure.
So my 10 is Deadpool, which I think.
Did you hear the silence? Like,
what?
Yeah, the entire. Okay. Did you hear the audience gasp?
Yeah,
right then?
I heard
yeah.
every podcast.
That was
turn
weird.
Off.
Yeah, I just had.
I love how you establish your list so strong.
I had Deadpool. That's right. I had problems with that movie too. There were parts of the movie that I didn't love.
Oh yeah. Well,
there were parts of the movie that I didn't love. Especially, you know, a lot of the extra characters, the closer we get to the end and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like there were people we had in for no reason except that we could.
Right.
And so fine, fit them in.
Right.
But I had so much fun with that movie. And, more than that, it was so exactly what it was trying to be.
It was
crazy impressive just that they could do that.
Yep.
And, you know, if you give me like a little bit of a breather, I would probably watch that movie like every time I turned around. Right. It was hilarious. Yeah. And, it was, and you know, it's getting nominated. It got nominated for crazy stuff, right? It got nominated at the Critics' Choice. It got nominated for Best Action Movie and Best Comedy Movie.
Right.
And Ryan Reynolds damn near won both Best Action Star and Best Comedy Star for the same movie.
Right.
It got nominated at the Golden Globes for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
in the comedy,
like, F you, buddy. Like,
and it was like, what? That.
Yeah, right.
And it really bizarrely deserved it. Like, I expected to go to that movie and have like a good, like, comic book movie time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have a lot of fun with it, just like Doctor Strange, right, or whatever.
Right.
And that movie took the gloves off so hard.
Yeah.
And it totally won me over. And for me, the really weird thing is when the movie ended, when I watched that movie and it ended, and I was just still kind of going, what the hell just happened,
yeah,
right? But one of the first things that I thought was that I wanted to watch it again.
Yeah.
And I never do that.
Rare.
So I'm thinking back to putting movies down for the list. And when it was like the initial stages of making a list, I'm like, how can I not put that down for my list?
If that's how it made you feel.
If I thought that, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
And at the end of the day, there were
this is awesome.
All these movies that are in my did not quite make it to the top 10.
Yep.
I didn't feel like any of them could really claim more that they had nailed what they were doing.
Yeah.
To the extent that this one did.
Yeah.
Even though in some sense they may be better,
matter,
you know,
yeah,
whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's my number 10.
That's pretty cool. And I love your list is like the movie. Cuz now anything can happen.
That's
like,
right.
That if you're putting Deadpool on, that's, you know, that's solid. 10 for me, if I, like I said in the beginning, if I could trust that I saw Legend with Tom Hardy playing twin brothers, that would have been 10, but I can't be sure when I saw it. So it got bumped, and the next film in line was Moonlight, which is making tons of lists, and it's making nearly everybody's lists at number one. For me, Moonlight was interesting in some regard, partially because of the narrative itself, but the strongest thing that I can say about Moonlight as a positive is that it's everything I wished Boyhood had been. And Boyhood was loved.
Exactly.
Boyhood was
loved by everybody. What I thought when that movie ended.
When we watched Boyhood and we both came to the conclusion that it was overhyped, like this thing that is really just the trick. And if you take the trick away, it's not really that great a story.
Right.
Boyhood got all this stuff, and Moonlight is very nicely to see getting all the stuff that is coming its way.
Right.
Well,
it's getting the same attention.
It's like number one on 89% of all lists that I've seen, which is interesting. And I see why. And for me, I had more fun and more interest in other films that you'll hear about shortly, but I'll be damned if I won't give it this credit, which is it had a story and it did this tale that I wished Boyhood had done.
Right.
Because if it had, I think Boyhood would have made my list as number one.
I'm
glad you feel the same way. Like, as soon as I watched it, I'm like, I got to tell Mark, this is what Boyhood should have been. You know, it's just
Boyhood was so engrossed in its trick.
Right.
That it didn't bother to worry about having a story that was interesting. And this is what we said when we reviewed that movie, right? If you take that trick out and make that movie exactly the same and make it again, but just have older people play the characters, nobody would have ever said one positive thing about that movie.
Right.
No one. Because there's no story. And in this one, not only does it actually have a story and kind of do the same progression of one character over a long span of time and everything.
Yeah.
But there's interesting stuff going on to the story, and there's a reason that you're watching it as opposed to just watching any random person grow up.
Right. It's got the three narrative acts where the main character is the little boy, then he's the teenager, and then he's the adult man. And you see a natural progression that is believable throughout the whole thing to get him to the point that he is based on the things that you've seen before, which is what it should be like. As far as the movie goes, why it doesn't rank higher for me is I actually thought, though no one does a bad thing, I thought the last installment was the weakest. I really loved the teenager stuff and then the young child stuff, but I found like waning interest as he was older.
I think you're exactly right. And I think that the end in that last chapter, even though he is great.
He's nothing but great. I mean,
he really is
great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But I think the story and the script
yeah, right.
are so focused on, it's almost like they're focused on their own trick too much,
right,
because they are so focused on showing you decisions that he makes at that time that you can point exactly to the thing we
always
said before.
Yeah.
They're so interested in that trick
it's too tidy,
that then they lose a little bit of their ability to have a fun, have a good, fun, interesting story continue because they just, there's okay, what can we do now that it will just be obvious that this is because of what we watched him do, and that's why he will make this decision and all that stuff. And it's not bad. It doesn't make the movie horrible. It doesn't tear it apart, but it does make it just a little bit,
that diner
a little bit weaker.
That went too long for me. And I was just like, I mean, I feel exactly the same way you just said. So that's my number 10.
Okay.
And number 9 for me, this, you know, sometimes when we talk about the same movie, it gets a little easier to go through it. 9 for me is Hidden Figures. I understand why you weren't wild about it, and I get it. When I watched it, I had a blast with it.
Like now it gets, I'm giving it
a 6. I mean, you ranked it 7.5, which is high, I watched it and I had a blast with it, so much so that even like her running to the bathroom music, it was endearing to me because I saw it at the right moment. Love Kevin Costner. I love the whole cast in this, and I thought they all did great. Even though when we reviewed the show, I actually had some problems with it. Like I thought it goes off the rails a little bit to fill in ancillary characters' life's accomplishments when it doesn't serve the narrative they're trying to tell. But I thought about Hidden Figures a bunch, not just because I saw it like 2 weeks ago, but because there were scenes in there that I'm sure
But because Trump got elected. that made you think.
So 9 for me was 9 figures.
And you know, I'll give you that. And it's still a really good movie. And I, you know, don't begrudge anybody who loves it more than I do or whatever, but there's something there are parts of that movie where I want it to be it's not exactly more serious. Right. But like more, realistic and like earnest,
like
about
aware of
its seriousness or something.
Right.
Like there are parts, one part for me, that kind of stands out, right, is the part where he takes down the sign on the bathroom, right?
Yep.
Now, here's the weird thing for me is that it turns out that really happened, or at least, I mean, supposedly. I wasn't there. Right. I don't know. But the story is that exactly happened, right?
Yeah.
And you did it wrong in the movie.
Right.
I don't love the way that happened in the movie. Even if that really happened,
just like that,
adjust it a little bit or something, right? If it happened exactly that way and you're going, what could be wrong about it? Because that's exactly how it happened. And I'm like, that's not making a movie,
right?
Just showing me exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Change that scene up a bit.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that you could have changed is I would have really liked it if that scene would have happened earlier.
Yeah.
Then I don't have to watch her do it 50 times. It's bad enough that she has to walk a half a mile to go to the bathroom.
Right.
She doesn't have to also do it 50 times in front of me.
And
it's just, there are some parts of the movie where I'm just like, you know, get on with something else.
I know why they do that one is so that later when she does blow up in the rain, you feel the frustration of it because we've had to endure it.
Right.
Supposedly. I get it. But I thought the same thing. I'm like, you only have to show it to me twice. Because the second time you show it to me with music behind it, I get that this happens all the time. But you also just have to say,
like
she's going to the bathroom because people do that all the time.
We know that she goes to the bathroom a lot. And not only that, but you could also just have, you know, she could just have to go to the bathroom and like walk out the door.
Right.
We know where she's going.
Always.
We can replay the whole thing in our minds.
Yeah.
You don't have to just walk us through it again.
I love that.
Anyway, but there are parts of that movie where I feel like the script could have tried less to be, you know, so overdone and overbearing in a lot of parts. But still, you know, it's fun and it's a good movie. Anyway.
So you're 9.
So that's your 9. My 9 is The Lobster.
Huh.
Which I feel is really weird to be, but this is officially the year that it counts, because I would almost thought that this counted for last year, Except that apparently it didn't come out here until like April or late April, even going into May. But I saw it in early February on the plane to Ireland.
Right. So you know
where it was already out. Yeah. And then I went to Ireland, could have bought it in a store. But
late 2015.
Because it had already been out in Ireland for a long time, apparently, because it was like on DVD already there. So that one like kind of snuck up on me because I thought I had missed that one in terms of being able to put it in any year because we had already done last year. And,
yeah, right.
But then it turns out, you know, it got like nominated for screenplay and he even got nominated for best actor in, at the Globe. So I was like, okay.
That's a fun movie. It's so weird.
It's so fantastic. And the guy whose name I'm not even going to try to say at all.
Yeah.
He's got another one coming out this year and it looks pretty fantastic too. But yeah, that is a movie that I definitely recommend everyone try to check out. And it's
we haven't talked about that on the show yet. It'd be cool to talk about that at length.
I can't even remember some of the other people who are in it, but it's got like a
Rachel Weisz.
It's got like a lot of people in it too. And yet nobody's heard of it. But anyway, Colin Farrell and the movie, definitely go find it on Netflix or something like that. He lives in this bizarre other reality or whatever, right? Where everyone has to be married. And if you're not married, you go to this hotel where so that you can be paired up with someone. And if you're not, then you're like out in the woods with this whole,
right.
It's so bonkers. And then if you go for the full 30 days and you don't find a mate, then you get turned into an animal. Right. You like pick your animal.
Yeah.
And they turn you into an animal and that's it.
And like legitimate animal, like not, oh,
no,
like, you're an animal. No, like you pick an animal.
The one guy has his brother dog, the dog who is his brother and everything. Colin Farrell has chosen a lobster.
Right. The title.
Because they live for a long time. And
their reasons were actually really good. They have blue butt.
He had like a whole list.
Like the aristocrat.
Right.
They live a long time and they can be sexually active their entire life. And
right.
The woman who's the facilitator there, she's like, how very interesting. You've made a good choice. I hope you don't make it.
And it's weird too because, you know, most people pick like a dog or like maybe a deer or whatever.
I loved watching this thing. And then, I wondered how many times in the background I missed it, but they'll be in the woods having a scene and there's a camel that walks by.
Somebody wanted
to be a camel. And I'm like, get out of here. What have I not seen before? Like, I've not seen it. It's interesting. Yeah,
it's really so weird and so fun. And the best thing, for me about that movie, about the script of the movie is that the script is written in a way that is so committed to the world that it has developed, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's lines, the way everyone acts, everything that happens is though you really lived in this world and were a part of this world and it shaped the way you think about things and whatever.
I gotta ask
really,
you
really
off
good.
Air what you thought the end, because there's only like three options at the end, and I want to know what you thought happened. But if we talk about the end, then you know,
right? Then
that ruins the fun of watching the film. Yeah, people should check that out.
Right. Okay. So then going on to eight for me is Zootopia.
Oh, cool.
I
know you like that one.
I was really blown away by that movie. Yeah. And it's interesting because every time I go to like another Disney Pixar movie or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I just weirdly find myself going, well, it's not going to be as good as
the last one.
Whatever
the great one was.
And then you go, what? And like going all the way back, I think going back to like Brave. Like Brave,
that was when
I remember like really, I was just going, what is like animated movies have surpassed most of what comes out in regular movies, right?
Yeah.
And this one, I was equally, you know, blown away by this one. I loved it. And not only that, but man, this movie, like, I just wanted my kids to watch it. Like,
yeah,
if,
right.
you, like if you get an animated movie where you're like, I just hope that they love this and want to watch it
yeah.
over and over again, because, you know, all the stuff that they think they're getting and they're not really getting
right.
maybe, and you know, whatever. But I loved everything about the movie.
Yeah.
It was really like so spot on. I mean, I still had a couple of problems with it. Right.
Yeah.
But,
right.
But
I had
very, very yeah. few problems.
When
with
you
it.
Went over your just missed and it wasn't in there, I thought, I wonder if he forgot it. I doubt it. Cause I know you talked
right.
about it a bunch. So, 8 for me is Hell or High Water. And I was surprised.
Also not on my list.
I was surprised that put on my list in a way. Like, I liked the film. I enjoyed watching it a lot. I thought it was real subtle and reminded me of films like The Way of the Gun, films that were just kind of like always direct to video. You'd just see it and you'd be like,
right,
I haven't seen
right,
this,
right.
but I got to watch it. It had like this weird, real lazy kind of almost like a tumbleweed, you know, that's in the film, just kind of way of telling its story, but it was still very tight for me. And I liked how it played with the tropes of what are very easily decided upon four characters. You know, there's two lawmen, there's two rule breaking brothers, but there was a lot of humanity to them. I liked their decisions. I liked their interactions. And it's kind of like this strange buddy film on top of a strange buddy crime film. Like it's just this, all these weird things happening at once together with it. But it also was this thing that for the first time in a long time really kind of made me think that Chris Pine can be a leading actor.
Right.
You know, cause I see him in Star Trek and I friggin' hate the Star Trek films. I feel like they screw up everything all the time, though. I think he's okay in them. I don't like him as Kirk, but anyway, and then I see him in like the Jack Ryan film and I'm like, he's not bad in that, but that film just stunk. Like he is hopefully not going to be one of these characters.
He can't take it over.
He can't
like run the
show. Who's
going to
be
yeah.
really good, but never gets a shot. Kind of like in a way, Colin Farrell. Like I really like Colin Farrell. I just think he's been in one bad, weird film after another that doesn't show his talents. But with Jeff Bridges and Chris Pine and Ben Foster, and I had so much fun watching the reveal. And then I found myself kind of like wondering who's going to come out of this alive. Cause you know,
right.
no one is. And part of what really sold it to me was the end. I really liked the end too. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, I like that one. Okay. But I didn't,
I know that wasn't,
I didn't
wasn't
get,
high on your
I didn't
list,
get
but.
As close to you, but it's still a, you know, movie that I mentioned in my almost,
sure, it was there.
It's still pretty good. And it's definitely a movie that, it's one of those movies that, like, I recommend it to you, even if I don't think you're ultimately going to like it.
Yeah.
Because it's still worth watching, well, right? Especially if if you have any interest in kind of Western-y things.
Sure.
I mean, it's like, it's very, even though it's modern day, it's
still
like very Western.
It's very West Texas. You know, I actually legitimately was cutting. I had a list of films that had made it, and I started cutting. And I'm like, okay, that's it. Let's start putting them in the right order. And I genuinely looked down and was like, you're there, huh?
Right, right.
Like it survived cut after cut after cut because I was thinking I actually did have fun with it. I liked it very much. And then I was really kind of surprised it was there. But I feel like if Trumbo and Amelisa and Legend were in it, I think that would have been
got
pushed. I think that'd
right.
be like 11 or 12. But number 7 for me, I'm not going to talk a whole lot about because we've just recently talked about it, but it's Passengers. And
oh, yeah.
despite
everyone else
end,
hating it.
Right. And this is one that I'm kind of stunned at, that everyone kind of took a crap on. But I have a big problem with a lot of the end. But I've thought about it a lot. I really love the setup. I like the idea. I like the execution. I think it's really interesting and thought provoking. And it was a lot of fun to see. And I rated it pretty high.
Right.
So I thought
and,
it warranted
and,
it.
And it's really fun and makes you think about stuff.
All the it makes me want to talk to people about it. And if they haven't seen it, I tell them, go see it because
right.
this is fun. But again, we just did a show about it. So if you want to know more about it, just back up on the podcast list and listen to it because we go through it in depth. So
right.
That's my 7.
So, okay, that's your 7.
Yep.
That is also my 7.
Oh, is it really? Oh, that's cool. Eventually, we do this. We start
exactly
overlapping.
Right.
So
right on the spot.
Same idea, right?
So yeah. That's my set. That was my seven also. Okay, so my six is Love and Friendship.
Yeah, right.
And it's Whit Stillman. It was released to Amazon, so it's like on Amazon Prime. It didn't come out in theaters, but it's Whit Stillman, and it's got, God, it's got like
everyone. Kate Beckinsale, Chloe Sevigny.
Yeah, Kate Beckinsale is the main character, but it's got everyone.
Everybody.
It's got all kinds of people, like they're crawling out of the woodwork everywhere. And if you like any of the old Whit Stillman movies, it's a little different, because it's an adaptation of a Jane Austen story. But when I was watching that movie, it was like I couldn't look away.
Yeah,
it was almost, and it was hard to tell for a while if that was good or bad.
Yeah.
if it was like because I loved it or because it was like trying to suddenly become a train wreck or it was going to go. There were a lot of parts when I was watching that movie where I thought this is going to go
off the rail.
This is going to go wrong in a big way.
I thought that.
And then, but it didn't. Yeah. and man, by the time there was another one where as soon as that movie ended, I wanted to watch it again. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, that was so.
That was
like that was so freakishly fun.
Yeah.
And another, you know, the other first thing that I thought when I was watching that movie, I was like, every like sophomore in high school should have to watch this on like the first day of class. They should have to watch this movie.
Yeah.
And then go, okay, now do you want to read these old stuffy books?
Right.
Like, because it just,
it makes it
into like a different thing, right? Like if you start out and go, we're going to read Jane Austen or we're going to read Charles Dickens or, you know, some stuff like that.
Sure.
And everyone's moaning or whatever.
Yeah.
But it took that kind of story. Mm-hmm. It took that old novel that, you know, seems like no one would ever want to read it. And you can get young people to go, wait, what? That's what happens in that?
Yeah.
And that, and
it absolutely personifies it.
It was so fun, and I loved it.
And they weren't, you know, what I liked about the film as well is they weren't so in love with their own material that they felt that they had to drag it the hell out. You know, if
Peter
Jackson had done this movie, it had been 4 hours of set pieces and things.
Right.
It's 92 minutes, and I think 4 or 5 of that are credits.
Right.
So it is fast. It's tight. It demands you kind of pay attention because the language is so specific and old English.
Right.
But if you get into the habit of listening to it, there's jokes everywhere.
Right.
You know, it's very, very, it's very, very fun.
Which I think is funny because as people, you know, get exposed to stuff like Jane Austen, you go, oh, she's like in that
this
one
reputation
section of the bookstore
it's
or whatever.
Dusty. Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, you don't this is hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
This
Give it a chance. It works on you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not, they weren't old when they wrote it. Right. It's like, and it really brings that to life even more than a lot of other Jane Austen adaptations.
Right.
They still try to be, you'll see like a lot of other movies that are like Sense and Sensibility and, you know, it gets like a adaptation after adaptation after adaptation. And it's like each one is trying to somehow make it more stuffy
than
the last.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And this one is like, no,
this could have easily been 2 hours and 22. Like it really could have been these long, elaborate things. And I loved it more because it was so concise.
Right.
Like,
and every scene could have been like 3 times as long,
but they're like, we've got what we've done,
and that's, you know, very Whit Stillman too. I mean, if you watch like Metropolitan or The Last Days of Disco or something like that, it's got like 5 times the dialogue per minute
film, you better know.
It's like the Gilmore Girls, really. Yeah, it's like the Gilmore Girls were, I can't remember the name of the lady who created it, but it's like, she was a big Whit Stillman fan,
right?
It's like, get as much talking into every second as you can.
Yeah, right.
So, anyway, so that
that's
is
your,
that's
your
six. Yeah.
My six is going to be probably pretty quick. It's The Lobster.
Oh,
when I watched it, I was
you're like rolling your eyes at me when I
gotta throw a few things your way. You know, The Lobster was really, really fun, and I loved the world it was based upon immediately because, like you said, in your bit, it's our world. It's just like 4 degrees off its axis where this thing
right,
happens.
Right, right.
And I found myself so immediately applying like a Wes Anderson filter to it. Like in a way I'm
right.
like, this is kind of like his movies, although Wes Anderson's films are very stylized in a way that this is actually kind of sterile. But what's stylized here is like the world, the narrative. And he doesn't go out of his way, but watching, you know, watching the premises of the whole film take hold and then everyone believe it and not wink, you know, there's no winking and nudging
right, right.
about it. This is like solidly kind of depressingly here. I love the metaphor that exists for what dating is like, both online or in the real world, and the consequences. This is why I love the film, because it made me think about all the things I'm about to rattle off, which are the consequences of being alone in society and how society views you versus being with someone.
Yep.
Do you then take a chance on true love, finding that the risk might be that you are reduced to a bare number of things, or do you lie about your interests because you're afraid of being seen as like weird and alone?
Right.
Does
right.
your partner value you if you lie to, like, there's so many things working underneath the subtext of this.
And you get a little ways in the movie and then all of a sudden you go, oh my God, this is just actually how the world
is.
Is.
And I loved the subtext. I loved the text. I loved all the subtle metaphors. I loved the obvious ones. When it gets really bizarre and people are shooting each other because they're hunting, you know,
right, right.
I thought for a moment that there was a jarring thing because halfway through or a little less than halfway through, like he makes some choices and he meets other people. And I wasn't wild about that whole thing at first. And then I fell for that wholly.
Right.
And part of a film like this, like I alluded to when you mentioned it earlier, is there's an ending that is kind of ambiguous. It is absolutely ambiguous. It's not kind of anything. And I love figuring out what people think happened because I think that says just a little bit about what they see.
Right.
And it's a blast. And I've been telling everybody to see it. And everyone's
and
been
no
like,
no one will
what?
Listen to
they're
you.
Like, they're like, yeah, sure. Maybe I'll right. see, you know, the bottle cap next because they think I'm making
right.
up a movie.
Right.
And I'm like, no, this actually exists. And for a while, I was trying to get everyone to see it just because I thought it was so much fun. And I think people will see it.
Right, right.
But I had as much fun and thinking about it as I have any film almost on
yeah,
the whole list.
Yeah.
Because it was a blast.
And you know, one of the other things that's really awesome about this movie is that, as I said, right, it builds this world and then it really commits to it, right? And,
it really
and everyone is – these people live in this world like you would not believe
yeah.
that they're acting.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like in this world.
Yeah.
But then what's awesome about it, I think, is that everyone knows that this hotel is here, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's in the world where there's the hotel. They all know it's out there. They all know you're going to have to go to it. They all know whatever.
Right.
But no one knows what happens in it.
Right. Yeah.
And they show up and then it's like, this is what you do. Do
yep.
this. Now
right.
do this. But nobody knows coming in like, okay, yeah, I know it's time to have my one arm tied behind my back
right.
or whatever. Like
yeah.
nobody knows what the
yeah.
things are, right?
Yeah.
But they are also fucking complacent about going
amazing.
Along with
yep.
whatever happens.
Yep.
They are all so a part of a world
yeah.
where
I
this is
it.
What you do and you just play along and that's it.
Yeah.
And so some people like escape and they're out in the woods, right?
Yeah.
But to get to the point where you find anyone who is even interested in escaping,
right? Yeah,
there
right.
are so many people at this hotel. Escape? What do you mean?
Sure, right. This
I get to
here.
Be a deer,
right?
It's like it's
yeah.
so crazy the way that this builds this world. So like this would
yeah.
be like a 5,000-page book.
Yeah, right.
You know, to try and get
yeah.
all of this stuff in
so
a way
nuances,
that you could,
yeah.
in a way that you could believe.
In a way like Deadpool just owns what it's going to be, but it's hilarious and outrageous and it's everything is an 11, you know, in Deadpool. This is very subtle, but it owned everything and it committed to it in a way that I just thought, man, I kind of want to be in that world for just a second. I don't want to stay there for a moment longer
right, right.
because it's so intricately earnest,
right?
You know, I loved it. I thought the lobster was great.
And you get the whole kind of microcosm
yeah,
of
man.
The people in the woods
those
and their
riot.
Their own
I mean,
little society
yeah.
that they've constructed. Oh, it's so good.
Number five for me, I'm putting on my fanboy hat, and I without shame or embarrassment, I love Civil War, Captain America.
Oh,
You scoff all you want. I had a blast with it, even though there were a couple things that I had an issue with. It was one of the highest ranked movies of the year. It tied many of the films that I had. I liked it a lot more than you did. I was like 2.5 stars above what you had.
Right.
But it was in a lot of ways that itch I wanted in the summer.
Right.
I was nervous about Doctor Strange. You know, as far as I'm a big comic book guy. I was nervous about that film, but I thought if Civil War could just deliver on half of the stuff it purports in the trailer, it'd be great. I felt like it delivered on everything. So I had a blast with it.
All right. That's your five. Yeah. I didn't have anything like that Civil War.
The lowest you'll go on your list, I'm sure, like the pop culture barrel, you've probably hit Deadpool. Like for me, it was my Deadpool. Like I loved it.
Yeah, there was a time when I thought Doctor Strange might have a chance to, like before I saw it, right?
Yep.
That there was a time when I thought that may
it
have
could.
Like a real shot
yep.
at being
if
on
it's
the
real
list.
Heady.
And then no, it just didn't.
Yeah, right.
It just didn't work.
Fine,
but anyway, so that's
five.
Your five. We have already gone over an hour, so
I know. We're getting close.
We're gonna have to hurry, but so we're on five now, right?
We're gonna start over.
My five is The Handmaiden.
Oh yeah,
it's the. You know, I want to say that it's a Chinese movie, but I feel like maybe it's actually South Korean.
I'll look real quick.
Or Japanese. I don't even know who made the movie.
Yeah.
It's a Japanese like world.
It's a Japanese world, right?
But for some reason, I feel like it's not a Japanese movie. But that just could be because I've seen 100 movies in the last 30 days. And
well, it's like set in London too.
They're
right?
All
like it's not even
flying together
right,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, that movie is in some way like
it's set in Korea.
The craziest like perfection of almost everything. And it's a completely screwball movie but it's got all these like weird twists and turns and it's it's like these people start out in this like little village and they try to like move up to be somewhere into another class. And then all of a sudden there's the wife of the guy. And it's like, it's like feints within feints within feints. And
right.
there's like crazy, like sex games and
cool.
It is bonkers as a movie.
Yeah.
And it has everybody like double crossing everybody. Nobody trusts anybody. Everybody has like 8 different schemes going on at the same time. And somebody gets put in the insane asylum at
right.
the last minute because all of a sudden everybody says that she is somebody that she's not.
Yeah.
And she's just going, "What? I'm not." And which that's not like the absolute most original thing that ever happened, right? But man, the way it all comes together and it's gorgeous and all the characters in it are fantastic. And, I can't do that movie justice in the time we have.
That's showing up on a lot of lists.
But man,
well.
Is
strong.
That an awesome movie. And, and this is a year, actually, I'll tell you, this is a year where more foreign movies had a chance to get on the list. And like I mentioned, Tony Erdmann, the German movie in my almost or whatever, but this was like a insane year for foreign movies to just kind of knock my socks
really
off
go.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I think
like, it's been super, super strong category. Not that they should be, but they're really coming on strong. Yeah. There's a ton of them.
And like last year, like I think I had the Swedish film, but that was, usually there's like the one
that has a chance
to be really in the top 10
right.
or come like really seriously close to the top 10. And not because I don't see any of them. I don't see enough of them.
You see
but,
a bunch. You
but,
see way
but
more
I,
than your average
but,
person.
But I see enough of them,
yeah.
especially just because, the nominations, whatever gets put forward anyway. But this year I was like, I was really surprised.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is
was that
going
force
on?
Force Majeure?
Like,
was that?
Yeah,
the
yeah,
one?
Yeah,
yeah.
That
yeah.
movie is still
that's
awesome.
An incredible one. Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so I'm supposed to go to four, right?
You're at
so
four.
That's my five. My four is Moonlight. So.
Interesting.
Okay. We already talked about that.
Yep. That's cool, man.
That one just had me, and like I said, same problems. I think as you with the end.
Yeah.
But that one just had me for so long.
Yeah.
And I was kind of surprised, even though
me too.
Even though everyone was saying it was good,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
it was, you know, it had all the hype and everything, but I still was going into that one going, I don't know that I'm really
right.
going to love this. And I will say this too. It did not hook me right away.
Me either. It was a slow grab.
It
yeah.
took like the first 15 minutes, maybe, or maybe even 20 minutes of it. I was like, well, this is not bad.
Sure.
And yeah. then after that, I was like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah. How come? It accelerated. It got great.
Yeah.
Fast.
And
yeah.
then all of a sudden it just had a hold of me for so long
yeah.
that even as I, you know, started watching the end and was, you know, kind of not loving it as much or whatever, it still,
yeah,
I thought it was really great. And for me, that one too was as much as that movie is getting attention for actors.
Yeah.
One in particular, right?
Right.
I thought like the little kids in that movie,
man, they were great.
Freaking crazy.
They were amazing.
I was watching that and like the teenage portion of the movie, the really little portion of the movie, I was like, what the hell are these?
Right.
Where
yeah.
have we been hiding
them?
Yeah. Well, they were great. So just
watching Lion and then this
right.
back to back.
Right.
And then my big, you know, then I watched Patriots Day. I watched like one sad film after another,
right.
day, you know, and I was just like, holy crap. But I thought the same thing. I'm like, get these kids in a lot of things.
Right.
Fast.
Right.
And wherever school they're going to mine it. Cause there's talent everywhere. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's my four, and we already kind of covered that pretty much. So
my four is Arrival. And though I thought it had some difficulty and it had a couple issues that I didn't like, I just thought it was one of the most intelligent and thoughtful and forthcoming kind of science fiction, not even just a science fiction story, but just like fun, engaging tale. But I thought about it a bunch.
Yeah.
I wound up thinking this is why when I asked you earlier, and it's strange because Arrival is high enough on my list at four to be like it was safe. Like I knew it was going to be on my list somewhere.
Right,
but
right.
when I was thinking like what's the criteria here, I found thinking about Arrival or talking about it with a few people. I didn't know that many people who wound up seeing it, or they did. They were real confused by it.
Right.
And I'm not high, I'm not looking down my nose at them for it because I got it. I mean, maybe I didn't get it, but I enjoyed it and I loved talking about it, but it stayed with me for a long time. And even now I think about scenes from it that I really liked and scenes I didn't really like that I wish they would fix. But that's one that, like what you've said, if I had to sit down and watch Arrival right now with someone, I could do it easily.
Right.
Give me a bag of popcorn and I'm in. Like,
right.
It's that good for me and was that fun and thought provoking. So that's where
that one was really close for me. I liked it a lot. It was very close, but I did have some problems with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a really fun time.
Yeah.
And for me, it was kind of a surprising fun time, and not because I had low expectations, but because it's really slow.
Yeah.
You start sitting through that and it's going really, really slow. And it just makes you expect at the end, you're going to be a little ho-hum about it.
Right.
Instead of it kind of really, it's almost like something like Solaris, you know?
Yeah. Right.
It's very, you know,
kind of
slowly pulled together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's really good. But
yeah.
while you're watching it, you're kind of going, oh, man, this is like,
yeah.
You know, you don't really feel like it's dragging completely. It's just that it's laying things out in a methodical
sure.
way. So it,
yeah.
you know, it was kind of surprising that it was,
yeah.
it was that good. Anyway,
That's four for me. Three is Nocturnal Animals. And
wow.
Nocturnal Animals is maybe the most surprising film on my list. Which I think
I'm really glad that that's on your list.
Which really, it's kind of strange because if I'm talking about films that I thought of, I haven't thought about any film as much as I have Nocturnal Animals, partially
right, right.
because it's so just friggin' strange in
right.
the beginning. And then it's very visceral and it's very dangerous.
It's,
like,
it and then it gets
me.
Stranger. The,
it does.
The
it's
cool
like,
thing about that is that it starts off really strange and then actually gets stranger.
Yeah, and you think, oh, okay, this is your shtick. You're gonna reel me in by being just bizarre. And I don't mean like just Twin Peaks bizarre, but kind of just really
just,
strange.
Just odd. Yeah.
And then I found myself legitimately invested in the film in a way that I wasn't tense, like, oh my God, I'm going to wet myself here. But
right.
I was I was almost on the edge of my seat because I was so excited, so dialed in. I wanted so much to see more of the story that is the story within the story. You
right,
know, it's
right.
like a Scheherazade. There's a tale here. And the bookend thing that is happening with these characters, with Amy Adams and Jake Gyllenhaal, is very interesting. But the story that she's reading is so engaging. When Aaron won for supporting actor, I was really surprised, but I thought, man, maybe this thing has a weird dark horse chance of picking up some strange stuff.
Right.
And it was unsettling. And I loved, because I see so many movies, I know you see so many movies, if a film can really work like that without being some torture porn fool's errand.
Right, right.
If you can cerebrally affect me, then you've got me thinking about you a long time. And in a lot of ways, this film did what no film in a long time did.
Right.
Prisoners did that. And that was a couple of years ago. And this works on a very different way, but all the performances are solid. And I just like the skeevy, weird feeling I got when I first
right.
watched it, when I didn't know a film. I'm usually thinking, like, I know what's going to happen. Just do it and don't screw it up.
Right.
Or if you don't do it, I'm thinking in my head, like, this is what you should have done. When I watch this, I'm like, I have no idea what's happening.
Right.
And if I think, I know I'm wrong. So just watch. And I love that feeling.
And I
it's
wonder,
so rare.
It really makes me wonder too, because I love this movie too. It was
yeah.
really, really close. As I said at the beginning,
yeah.
it was like
it was
right
almost missed. Yeah.
Right on the edge of being in the top 10.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. And it makes me kind of wonder if, because I knew the story. I read the book.
You're right. Yeah. You had read.
I read the book before I watched the movie.
I
know what's coming. So
yeah.
did it not kind of, you know, did it just have like a little tiny
yeah.
bit of not as much for me because
you knew.
I knew versus
right.
you did not know.
I had no clue.
And you're going, what's going on? But the end
yeah,
is, I love the end.
Yeah, me too.
And mm-hmm. I also went through the movie a little bit going, I don't know about the end and how mm-hmm. that's going to, you know, come through.
How they're
going to
do it, yeah.
But yeah, it's really, really solid. And what I thought was especially awesome about it is you really get right inside Amy Adams' character.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of the thing is her trying to figure out what the hell is going on with this guy that she knew that he wrote this book,
yeah,
right? She
right.
is reading the book, knowing the author, and trying to get inside his mind. And you get pulled right in there with her.
Yeah.
You're doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You're watching the story that he wrote. And as much as you're kind of watching it going, okay, I want to know this story, you are right there with her going, who the hell wrote this story?
right.
right?
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it comes together really well. And it's really, really solid movie. And a lot of people are not seeing it. And
yeah,
and that needs to change, right?
Yeah.
It needs to get
a lot more
attention.
A lot of people see that.
And when it's you know, when it hits something, you can stream it or get the DVD. Like,
right.
You got to check that movie
yeah.
out. Okay, so
that was my three.
That's your three, and so now we need my three. What number
Thanks
are we going?
Nine.
Okay, my three is Manchester by the Sea.
Yep.
So now we're in the territory of that's going to be on everybody's
yeah,
list,
right.
and we probably don't need to talk about it. We've covered it on the show.
Right.
You know, it's so weird. It's weirdly awesome movie.
Yeah.
And I don't want to watch it again.
Yeah.
Maybe ever.
Right.
because it's just, it's not that kind of movie.
Right.
But man, watching it was a thing.
Yeah.
And he's great in it. But anyway, like I said, we've gone over that movie. We don't need to, take up a ton
right.
of time. So now I'm supposed to do two, right?
Two. Yep.
My two is L.
Yeah.
Which is also a foreign movie.
Yep.
So that's not only two foreign movies, well, three foreign movies if you count The Lobster, because that is technically foreign.
Yeah, I do.
So that's three foreign movies on my list. Another one that's just barely not on my list, and one of them is number two. So
right.
that's pretty high up there. L, we don't really probably need to go too much into. It's Isabelle Huppert, who's winning Best Actress every time you turn around.
All the time. Yeah.
For a foreign movie, which is fantastically impressive and really good to see, like, foreign movies crossing that
yeah.
line, I think, and even getting nominated in the, you know, quote, regular category
yeah.
and not, like, foreign film category.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I'm not even going to go over it. It's like the movie of her confronting her stalker, harasser thing, yeah, whatever, and her just like turning the tables, and it's all,
yeah,
you know, like I said, I won't go through it, but it's awesome, awesome movie, and hopefully everyone will check it out. And now it's a foreign film, so people are even less likely to actually see it,
get into it. But
anyway, all right, we're gonna run into 90 minutes pretty soon. Yeah. So what's your two?
I can go very quickly with this. Two for me is La La Land. We've already discussed it on the show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I will reiterate that I am still, to this point, even weeks after we've already talked about it, I'm still haunted by some of the stuff that Ryan Reynolds does, especially at the end. I can't stop thinking about it. It's as a musical, it didn't appeal to me very much, but as a story and as a convincing story between the characters, I was hooked. It's very easy. And this is all over everyone's top 10 list. So I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know. Number one for me is Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, okay.
And that
you
one,
knew that was coming.
I feel like, you know, three and four with Nocturnal Animals and Arrival, especially with Captain America, you know, I feel like there's, with Moonlight, Hidden Figures, Hell or High Water, Manchester by the Sea, La La Land, this is most people's list because they're all highly ranked. Manchester by the Sea, like you said, we've done a show on it. You can listen to it. I think it's great. I think everybody in it is absolutely effective and moving in their portrayal of transferring the emotions that you need to really care about characters. And as sad and as somber as it is just the opposite when it needs to be humorous. It is laugh out loud funny, and it will make you feel the wide range of emotions that people want to feel when they go see a film that doesn't have Jedis or sharks in there.
Right, right.
It's number one.
Number one for me is pretty obviously La La Land.
Yeah.
Because since I haven't mentioned it yet, you know it's not going to just be nowhere.
Right.
For me, that movie still just stands out, even if we have to cross genres or whatever. When I was done watching that movie, I knew it was going to be the number, I knew it was going to be the top movie on my list, and there was nothing that came after it that had any chance of dethroning it.
Yeah.
And when I watched every other movie after that I watched, I was like, yeah, but guess what? No,
you're not there. Yeah.
And you know, for me, even though I love the fact that movie, like you said, it didn't work as a musical. I love the fact that that movie was a musical and yet said, screw it, I don't have to be a musical.
Yeah, it was very unconventional.
It was just not a musical.
Yeah.
I love the fact that it opened with that big musical thing just so it could say, not that.
Uh-huh.
Like, just so it could go,
get it out of the way.
We're like, not going to do that.
Here you go. Now shut up and sit down.
And their chemistry was great.
Yeah.
I loved the script. I loved all the things that they said and didn't say. I loved stuff like when they're at that party and he's playing like the
80s.
Old 80s stuff. And then they have that little conversation and it's almost like he can't do it. Like he can't come up with something to say and he just walks away.
Yeah.
I love the way all that stuff gets put together. And for me, possibly one of the best endings ever.
Yeah.
I love the end of that movie. It's like, so that if that doesn't kind of blow you away, you just don't like movies.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, it was such a powerful, weird ending and such a, like a crazy idea of an ending. Like if you see that ending on paper,
You're like,
and you're trying to sell, you're trying to sell this to somebody.
Yeah.
It better be somebody who knows you or knows that you can put
you can
stuff together,
right?
Because it's so weird and out there. But anyway, so that's the number one. I think that covers our list. We've already gone like way over time.
Yeah.
Those are the movies that you need to see.
Right.
Find all of them wherever they are. You know, write these down. Get them on Netflix or Amazon. I will
put our lists up.
Yeah, I will put. I will put.
I don't
the
know
list.
If we. I can't remember if you. I always write ours down. But
I'll put the list up and have it out there for everyone to.
No more emails from anyone
it.
Until you've seen each of our top 10.
That's right. Don't tell. Yeah, don't email us and tell us that.
Unless you've seen The Lobster. Now you got to tell us.
Right.
I want every email that comes in to tell me what you think the end of the movie means, and then we'll read your email.
All right. So, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah,
go check out all those movies. Please, please share, rate us on iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us. Thanks.
Bye.